Energikommisjonen har gitt marsjordre. De ønsker mer av alt, raskere. I Europower stiller vi spørsmålet, hvordan bygge mer kraft raskere, uten dødsfall? Kan IT spille en rolle her? Se merkraftraskere.no og ta gjerne kontakt dersom dere har en løsning som kan redde liv.
Today we are at the Europower Investor Conference at Oslo Event Hub and we have four esteemed guests. I would like to welcome on stage Einar Kilde Evensen, Head of Sustainability and Corporate Banking at DNB, Tone Lunde Bakke, CEO at Export Finance Norway, Håkon Haugli, CEO at Innovation Norway, and Ann-Kristin Andersen, CEO at Norwegian Energy Partner. Yes. A warm welcome to the panelists. Before we start the debate, I asked you all as a preparation for today to prepare a short presentation where you answer the following question. How does your company contribute to increase Norway's exports of green technology? And what do you think is important to succeed with this? And Tone Lunde Bakke, if you could start.
Sure. For those of you who don't know us, Export Finance is an institution owned by the government. And what we do is to finance and encourage Norwegian export. And one of the prime, and the way we do that is either to finance Norwegian producers, like, for example, a battery company selling or exporting, or it could be financing a huge international project, for example, a wind plant, and finance the Norwegian deliveries into that plant. So that's mainly what we do. And also our mandate is, and also the strategic priorities is to finance as much as possible within the green transition. That is sort of what we're told to do. So what is it we do? Of course, we collaborate a lot with our partners and also with our banks in order to do that. But we have been financing about 40 billion Norwegian kroner in offshore wind export. We have an exciting auction going on today to see whether we're going to do wind plants in Norway. But not everyone knows that we do have a huge industry in the wind industry in Norway, but is exporting more than actually producing offshore wind in Norway. So about 40 billion, and that goes into the vessels, of course, installation and services, and we finance the transformation platforms and then also the cables in that. Secondly, we heard about earlier today talk about Scatec and the huge projects they have, and we have financed about 10 billion to Norwegian solar projects, and that's primarily to Scatec, which is important as well. Green maritime industry, very important as well, where there are so much new technologies coming in and looking into financing that. And then there are all other kind of technologies that we're probably going to talk about, and hydrogen is complex, and we're looking into many projects, but we've also already done carbon capture projects that we've been financing. So what do we do to do all this? Of course, this is new to everyone. We need to finance this, we need to de-risk this, and we need to share the risk. And everything we do together with banks. And for the huge international project, it's mainly with international banks, but we also see the Nordic banks like DNB being much more active now, which is good. So we have gained a lot of experience internationally, and now we'd like to take that home and finance things in Norway as well.
Thank you. Håkon Haugli, Innovation Norway.
Yes, thank you very much. I think for us, the short answer is collaboration. It's a collaboration. Everything we do is a public-private partnership. And also with our partners here in Team Norway, we work consistently to increase Norwegian exports. Let me mention four things. Actually, we heard in the previous debate how we, Innovation Norway, brought a starry-eyed German investor to Norway to look at an area where there was no grid. That is part of our Invest in Norway activity. It's conducted by our international offices that we have in 24 countries, and similarly, they work with export promotion, scout for opportunities, bring opportunities home to Norwegian businesses so that these opportunities are opportunities are translated into contracts. It's all about contracts. There is no export without contracts. I think sometimes in Norway forget that it's about selling. Exports is not something we can decide on doing. It needs to happen in individual discussions between buyers and sellers, and it's an away game. It happens abroad, and our advisors at our international offices support Norwegian companies doing that, similar to the work that Norweb does within the energy sector. Thirdly, we are also a bank, and we fund with commercial banks or independently innovation and technology development. Tone mentioned offshore wind. We have had over the last few years 220 projects within offshore wind. And interestingly, they are at the cutting edge of technology development. Contrary to what we believe, I think, it's not about steel or construction. It's about highly advanced digital solutions. And this is where Norway has an edge. And I think let's discuss this in the panel, but going forward, I think we need to cultivate and develop that edge. This is where Norway can be highly competitive, and we're seeing it translating into contracts every day. And finally, we as an organization are a gateway to European innovation and research programs. Norway is doing quite well, and particularly well within the energy field in the Horizon Europe program. We recently did a survey. We asked Norwegian companies broadly who drives the green transition. Who drives the green transition? The answer that came back was the EU. So the European Union drives the green transition, not just in the European Union, but also in Norway. And it is interesting, and I think part of the explanation is the availability of funding to companies, but obviously also the importance of the European markets. So those are my 4 points. I'll get back to more if, if time allows. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Ann-Kristin Andersen, Norwegian Energy Partners.
Thank you for the invitation. So Norwegian Energy Partners is an organization with one clearly defined objective. Our objective is to grow the export from Norwegian companies in only one sector, and that is the energy sector. But that's a huge sector with a lot of verticals. And we are a non-profit foundation, so we're 50-50 government and industry funded. And we run some targeted key projects, for instance, on lower emission solutions that we are exporting. We play on Team Norway together with my friends here, Tone and Håkon, and we are in the sharp end, very close to the contract signature. So our people on the ground here in Norway and our advisors out in all the energy hubs abroad, they get up in the morning and they think, okay, where can we find the demand for Norwegian technology and solutions? And how can I get the right decision maker abroad in an international company to meet with the Norwegian company? In addition, we gather and share market insights and we tailor them to the technology verticals like petroleum, offshore wind, hydrogen, solar, etc. And we are, of course, leveraging our buying expertise and market knowledge. So Norweb is known to make things happen. And in addition to strong execution capabilities, we have network and relationships that are famous for our matchmaking skills.
Thank you. And Einar Kilde Evensen, DNB, what does DNB do?
Yes, well, I think most people here have heard about DNB. We're a commercial bank and we provide financial services to our customers. Very often we work in tandem with the people on represented on this discussion. And we have a balance sheet of about 2,400 billion Norwegian kroner, of which half is corporate lending. And so out of that 1,200 billion, we have an average tenor of, let's say, 3 years, meaning we rotate, we renew about 400 billion kroner of financing to all of our customers every year. Out of that, last year, I believe something in the neighborhood of 60 to 70 billion was for sustainability or renewable green purposes. And last year, out of that, again, half was for Norwegian domiciled companies. In addition, our colleagues in markets provided somewhere north of 40 billion kroner of financing in equity and debt. So in total, last year we did let's say 70 billion of financing for sustainability or green financing. And we do this, so that's just for Norway. We're represented in large parts of the world, including Chile, and not the dish, but the country, Santiago, Chile, and in New York, Singapore, and London, I think our network is often used to help our clients succeed abroad.
Great.
And I'd like to say that we have a commitment to finance 1,500 billion Norwegian kroner of sustainable green projects by 2030, meaning 180 something billion per year, but that's global. So we want to be there for Norwegian customers as well.
Great, thank you. A fundamental requirement to become an exporter of oil, which Norway is and has been for decades, is the access to oil fields. But just about anyone can develop green technology and export it. So let's talk about the fundamentals for exporting green technology. Question to you all, which framework conditions are needed to succeed in increasing the export of green technology? Lunde Bakker?
I don't know what kind of framework, because as I said, without having an offshore wind industry in Norway, we already export a lot. And that is based on the offshore experience and the oil and gas experience we have quite substantially. I think, of course, the better you are at home, the easier it is to export. But I think in this case, you can also export without being large at home. So what you need is, this is capital intensive, and it's risky. New technology, like we talked about before. So you need to share the risk, and you also need to have the financing. And we can see in some of these examples that we discussed, for example, within the battery, it's hard to get the financing. So I don't know whether it's one framework, but if you looked at some of the other countries in Europe and in the US, you can see that there are other subsidies available in different forms in order to support the startup. And we sort of said in Norway we're not going to do that, but we are doing it in Northern Light, in CCS, and we are doing it in offshore wind, which is good. But in other areas, you need to find sort of support from investors and the banking industry to support that, to share it. So we should acknowledge technology is new, capital intensive, and we need to work together in order to sort of support these initiatives.
Høgly?
Yeah, we're in Norway much better at developing new technology than scaling new technology. In terms of developing, I think a generally good framework in terms of research, innovation, partnerships within educational institutions and businesses are highly important. In terms of scaling, Norway is not doing as good as we would want it to be. We have recently, I think over the last 5 to 10 years, had a surge of new companies, which is fantastic, but we need much, much more of that. I think in terms of the framework for scaling, there is a lot to be done still, and it's sort of both in terms of a general condition for doing business, but also in terms of the risk alleviation that actors such as the actors on stage here can provide. I often find myself in rooms with middle-aged people, and this is not a comment on the current crowd, but I often ask, who of you advise your children to work with sales, marketing, or brand building over the breakfast table? Raise your hand. So commercial roles. And okay, you're raising your hand. Fantastic. One, two, we're counting. This is a cultural challenge for us in Norway also, that we polish our products to perfection without really taking them out into the market. So, and it really is not a great thing to have the best products in the world if nobody knows about them. So we need also to culturally to get away from thinking that a commercial success is building a cable or some kind of transfer capacity capacity from Norway to somewhere else. It is about going into tough commercial situations every day, and the future of exports relies on us being able to go into those sharp commercial situations, and then we need to develop our commercial muscles, both in terms of within individual companies, but also as a country. We need to have more hands raised when we talk about commercial roles.
Andersen?
Yeah, so talking about the startups, if you think about batteries or hydrogen, I think a key is not really a framework condition, but it's like the hen or the egg situation. You need to have an offtake for your hydrogen before you can actually do the investment in a large plant. So that's the complication, to get that match between offtake and actually the investment in the production. And also, as you alluded to, a lot of the renewable industries have a much smaller margin, in the sense that it's not a high profitable product. Well, you could argue that maybe power has been a super high profitable product, but still, it's economies of scale is really, really important. And Norway is a little bit away from the market. So you need to figure out this split between who does what and try to be good at the scale that you want to do. And I think for offshore wind, we've had a fantastic progress because we have been able to build on the shoulders of the capability from oil and gas. So it's been easy to treat Europe as a home market because we have the capabilities, the offshore capabilities, the maritime capabilities, and also the oil and gas companies. You know, the electrification of a platform, you may like it or not, but that actually enabled a company like Aibel to deliver HVDC platforms or substations for the wind projects abroad. So now converting half of their revenues into a green revenue. So the transition also is built on, when you build on the shoulders of a powerful supplier industry like oil and gas, then it's easier to get it to the market. But startup, like Håkon talked about, it's longer for the offtake and economies of scale.
Thank you. So you've covered some things where Norway has to improve and get better, but what about advantages, Hilde Evensen? Does Norway have any advantages?
I think we have a lot of advantages. I think we often think about ourselves as hopelessly messy, and our political process is a sham. But it's actually not that bad, even though there has been some upsets recently, some surprises there, but an analyst firm Bloomberg New Energy Finance recently did a survey of 30 countries within battery manufacturing, and came out with Norway on an 8th place, admittedly 3 slots down since last year. But we score quite well when it comes to both raw materials availability and the labor force. And that's one thing I'd like to give a shout out to one of the earlier panelists, Cecilia at NERC, that recently stood out mentioned that one of the major resources we have in Norway, which is 50% of our labor force, the women. And as a father of 4 daughters, I'm and the head of the sustainability advisory in DNB. I'm very happy that that Norway is able to not perfectly, and that's why we keep having this discussion. That we exploit this super valuable resource. Sorry to talk about people like a resource, but you know, that's what it is, and we do that better than many other countries. So, but still, as Håkon says, scaling up a good product to commercial scale, that's probably where we have the biggest challenges in Norway.
Lunde Vakker, comment?
I think what we have as well is, like, we do today have abundant or clean energy. And if you know, people want to buy green products. And if you look, for example, to hydro and how they want to make CO2-free aluminum over time using then the clean energy, and also how they also invest into renewable energy. I think that is one, you know, is a good source. We also have a lot of experience in process industry that we, especially when we use that, if we're going into the battery industry, we can use that. We also use to handle huge projects, really big projects. And there are companies in Norway who are being just advising on projects abroad on offshore wind without actually delivering anything physical, just a service to run the project. So I think there are many advantages that we have in Norway, and we just have to look at the history of what we've done before and take the best of that into the new things that we're doing.
Høgli?
Yeah, I was concerned we were too negative in the panel. I mean, just to make a few points on what we are great. I think no other country has a better starting point than we do in terms of the energy field. And right now, the world's attention is really tuning in on what we know the best. We have 140 years of hydropower experience. We have 70 years of oil and gas. We have world-leading solar companies. We have world-leading wind companies. And we have the best energy system providers in the world. In addition to that, we are the piloting country for electrification on the road and electrification at sea. All of those things are what the world is currently looking at. And we can, if we utilize our starting point in the best possible way, we can really take advantage of the fact that the world is now going through that green transition, that where we are better suited than anybody. In addition to that, we're a highly digital population, and the framework conditions, yes, there might be debate on things like taxes in Norway, but we have rule of law, we have a highly skilled workforce, we're used to doing digital skills, and Norwegian workplaces, Norwegian employers are used to going through change and transition. So we have, I claim, the best starting point of anybody, but it's not enough to talk about the starting point. We really need to act on it as well.
Yes.
No, I second that a lot, and I think that in the wake of electrification, you get a lot of software, and wherever you have software, you will have AI. So obviously, having this capability to balance the grid and what we've done here in Norway is fantastic. And I just want to do a shout out to Eveny as well, who's won a fantastic contract in Germany for charging electric vehicles. And Ragnhild promises me that she's going to spend a lot of money in Norway for Norwegian suppliers to actually contribute to that contract. And I'm glad to hear that she's also outsourcing some of her capabilities that normally is trapped inside the utility. Because my worry for Norway is that we have forgotten in the power industry to build a fruitious ecosystem of suppliers that not only have to live between the project one and project two in Norway, but actually in between can live off a lot of international contracts. So that's something that it's been a forgotten skill. I'm glad that Ragnhild now has woken up and brought that alive again. Because if it's something that we should learn from the oil and gas industry, it is that you need to build a good supply chain, Norwegian supply chain, that can actually serve the world with good solutions. So I think vi har knekt verden nøtte før. It's a good industry company who had that slogan, Aker. And I think with this strong industry and offshore tradition, I think we can be quite strong in the global competition.
You mentioned that Norway does have many advantages, but how is it in Norway compared to other countries? Do we realize how hard the competition is? We're not the only country who's focusing on green technology now.
No, I think as Håkan alluded to, it's quite hard to get to the contract signature, and the whole world is competing for the same contract, and everyone wants local content. So we might think it's good to export from Norway, but you know, everyone wants to build it in their country and also have work for their inhabitants. So the competition is fierce. So you have to be smart in how you're going to set this up. But Norwegian technology and solutions, especially in the energy sector, has a very strong brand in the world. So it's we're seen quite well upon. But I learned at the export conferencen that you held this last week that we should be careful with the flag when we're abroad now. We need to focus on what value the proposition has for the customer and not only, you know, do the engineering at home.
Kilde Evensen, how would you describe the picture Norway compared to other countries? DNB invests in globally, so.
We've financed, for example, offshore wind for 10, 15 years, mostly in German, Irish and UK waters, and Denmark, of course. And certainly it's a very tough competition out there. I have to say I'm very excitedly following the results or the not coming results from the auction.
It's coming.
I'm sure it's coming. So it'll be exciting. But now I shouldn't wade into political waters. But my personal opinion is that we shouldn't be too afraid of industrial policies. It's and it's not a new thing. And I'm not a history buff either, but one of the founding fathers of the U.S., Alexander Hamilton, was the brains behind their industrial policy back in the 1780s. Trying to get the new technologies of the day, textile mills and the like, off the ground, and that was rather successful. A good start, I think subsidizing offshore wind domestically in Norway for a limited volume and amount of time is the right thing to do, and it's what we need to do to nurture a domestic industry set for exports.
I think just getting back, you know, compare us to other countries or internationally, I mean, we had a slow start to renewable energy and to green transition. I think that's just natural because of the oil and gas dependency and how we're working with that. So, you know, if we were abroad and came into, back to Norway, you know, it took some time from politicians and also from an industry perspective. But when we changed, when we sort of realized we need to move fast as well, I feel that, you know, over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, a lot has happened and a lot of development and also export. So we tend to, when we realize we need to move, we move maybe faster than other countries.
Mm. We also need to talk about Europe. Høgli, to which extent is Norway's relationship to Europe important in terms of exporting green technology?
It cannot be overestimated. It's highly, highly critical for Norway to be part of the European common market and to for individual companies to win contracts in the European markets. About 70% of all our exports go to Europe, and that's excluding oil and gas. I think it's even higher. This is Ann-Kristin's fear. So, I mean, we are highly reliant on being part of Europe. And as I mentioned earlier, when asking individual companies who is actually driving the green transition, the EU is pointed to. And I think there's a multiple reasons why that is the case. And let me just pick up on the previous point, and that's increasing protectionism, which is really a hindrance to doing the work that we are currently discussing how to conduct. But only last week, India entered into a trade agreement with the EFTA countries, including Norway, which actually gives Norway and our EFTA colleagues better access to the Indian market, lower tariffs than the European Union countries. It is astonishing, and India obviously is a huge market going through a green transition. So there are opportunities, and in a world where a lot of countries are moving to more protectionism, I think that's a beacon of hope and makes me very happy that we got that agreement and provides a lot of opportunity. And in terms of industrial policy, let me also make that point. Norway has never, ever had neutral industrial policies. We have had a policy for fisheries and agriculture, for tech development, for all kinds of things for a long time. What's new now is that we are greening our industrial policies. And yes, we can discuss the caliber of the various measurements being taken, but it is an illusion to think that it was ever neutral.
We are running out of time, unfortunately, so we need to move towards the end. Last question to all of you. If you have to pick a measure which is important now in the close future, let's say in the next 1 to 2 years, what do we need to do right now to increase export of green technology?
As a banker, it's a super boring answer. It's just predictability. For us, predictability and steady support.
Lunde Bakker.
I think it's important that we get going at renewable energy, except from the hydropower that we have in Norway. And they talk about NVE regulation. We need to move fast from regulation.
A real push for early stage technological development. The AI wave will affect all industries. We need to be prepared. Norway is a small country and we have a lot to do in terms of utilizing our great starting point within technology, but we can do a real push working together, universities and businesses, but it really needs to be done. We're really going to fall off if we don't do it.
Andersen. For us, it's delivering on our identity, and that is to create the meetings that matter in order for Norwegian companies to win the next international order.
Thank you, everyone. Einar Kilde Evensen, Head of Sustainability and Corporate Banking, DNB. Tone Lunde Bakker, CEO at Export Finance Norway. Håkon Haugli, CEO at Innovation Norway. And Ann-Kristine Andersen, CEO at Norwegian Energy Partners. My name is Lisa Tømmervåg, and this is a recording from the Europower Investor Conference. Thank you.